But Paul sees the need for this most important thing to be dominant in their lives. Paul says, I need to pray that you have a heart understanding of the Father's love. Why? Because through the actions of the Son, we can see something different if we see it with love. Some of you might think your biggest problem is a financial burden. Some of you might think it's a bit like, well, if I had a bit more money, then everything would be okay. Maybe some of us think it's our health. You know, well, if I had better health, then I would be all right. Maybe it's a relationship issue. It doesn't really matter what it is. We kind of go with this, if I could pray about that and get it a bit better, then I'd be all right. Paul is saying, no, this is what you need more than fixing any of those other things. If you can experience this for yourself, then you can face any other situation. You can face poverty, let alone needing a bit more cash. You can face death, let alone facing a bit of illness. You can face the relationship you have with your Creator in terms that will let you feel loved, accepted, and freed. So you can face any other relationship, gauging it on that. Now, I do need to add a health warning at this point, because there are undoubtedly going to be some here who say, well, that sounds lovely, but I don't know if I experience that. There might even be some here who say, actually, for me, God feels very far off. I would almost say I don't know that I feel him at all. Now, thankfully, we should also expect and accept periods of dryness like that in our lives. Because sometimes the work that needs to be done in our hearts has to be done in the dryness of desolate times. There's something God needs to do to shape us at those moments which feels desperately, desperately needed, but can only be reached in the darkness of our souls. So it may seem bleak, but we need to embrace that as well. And we're not necessarily good at teaching that as a church or as churches. We like to teach about experience of God or about the word of God, but lack of experience of God, Often you might hear people say, well, pray about that a bit harder, or, you know, hopefully it will come. Well, actually, Paul is telling us that's not true. We need the dryness. So we can expect and experience both. So our second point then, what is this experience? Well, the best way to describe it is to look at the three petitions or the three asks in this prayer. What is Paul asking for us to receive? Firstly, Paul prays that our inner being is where we experience this, our heart, but not our emotional heart. The heart in those days was the very center of everything that made you, you, your personality, your reason, your thinking, your everything. And Paul is saying, that's where I want this to land. So it will control your mind and it will be emotionally connected to your life. It's going to affect what makes sense to us. It's going to affect what thoughts move us and what we actually do. We're not just going to have an experience where we go, oh, I was so moved. I mean, don't get me wrong, you know, preachers like me, we love it if we see you moved by a sermon. But the proof of whether that's landed is what happens as you walk out and spend the next 6 days in community. And don't get the onions out and try and make yourselves cry for me now. It's not going to work. So the first ask is that the Holy Spirit will come and strengthen and empower us to receive this in our innermost being. The second petition is this, to grasp and to know. What a wonderful word grasp is. To grab hold of it for ourselves. Well, as it's put here, to comprehend and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. Paul is not asking that we'll just understand Christ's love, but that we will feel the actuality of it more than we feel any other human being's presence. that we will experience the love of God through Jesus as more intense, more real, more personal than the closest relationship we have ever experienced so far. That is how he wants us to experience this love, a love that will define all other love. More important than any success, than any relationship, than any achievement. Some references to the reality of this. Does it happen anywhere? Do we know about it? Well, I'm sure we've got some of us experiences that we can share, but I thought I'd share a couple with you from different centuries in different countries. Dwight Moody on the streets of New York quoted as saying this: "Suddenly God came down in a way I have never forgotten. I started experiencing so much love pouring into my heart, I had to ask for it to stop." George Whitfield in the UK, praying for more of God at night, journaled that it was so overwhelming he could not sleep. And again, he prayed, "Please stop," so that he could rest. Blaise Pascal, French philosopher from the 16th century, when he died, they found a quote sewn into the breast pocket of his coat, so it was always close to his heart. It spoke about experiencing God's love as a fire for 2 hours. And he vowed he would never again doubt God's existence or the reality of his salvation. And Teresa of Avila, a Carmelite Roman Catholic nun, she said this: "This prayer was a glorious foolishness, a heavenly madness. I was bewildered and inebriated by his love. My soul desired to cry out and was beside itself. It could not bear so much joy." Now, these people in different countries and different centuries are all talking about the same relationship with the same person in the same way. Each is saying, when we experience this, it will overflow us. We will be overwhelmed. And then we have this interesting phrase that the third ask, really, that we should be filled with the fullness of God. Filled with all the fullness of God is the words that we heard. Now, this phrase might sound a little bit kind of prosaic, a little bit, well, they're making the point, but actually, to be filled with the fullness of God was a phrase that was used to say, so much God in you that it showed out of you, that God was evident in the way you lived. A powerful experience of what God's love is, so powerful that it radically changed the way you lived, even if it radically changed it slowly. So then, how should we receive this? Well, there are 4 ways to do this, but they're all in one thought, you'll be pleased to know. We have to do this through prayerful seeking, with aggressive wrestling, in community, that's together, and Christocentrically, with Jesus as its focus. I'm going to pull those bits apart. In community. That doesn't just mean standing together. That means working in partnership. That means coming together to learn, to work together towards a common end, so that no man is left behind, as the American Rangers would say. So the ones of us who are struggling, left lifted by the ones of us who are making progress. You may have all experienced when you come together for a Bible study and there are 3 or 4 of you or more studying a text, how often does somebody enrich your understanding of a passage by something that they think? So when we say communally, when we say together, we don't mean just in the same space. We mean really working, everybody for the same end. Prayerful seeking. Well, that's an interesting one because it's quite passive, according to Paul. It's given to us when we bring ourselves to this prayerful moment. It's a gift. But we need to create a space for that to happen. And it's very different to the next bit, aggressive wrestling. What does aggressive wrestling mean to find this? Well, it means we have to seek this so passionately that it becomes almost an obsession. We have to desire this so much, it's as if we were desiring to take a breath. If right now we're feeling something like, well, I want this, but maybe I've never seen this, or I don't know how I get it. But if we feel that we want it, then I would say Jesus is close right now. And on the other hand of that, back to this dryness that we might feel, if we are feeling an absence of God, and I really want people to hear this, if we feel an absence of God, we are actually feeling evidence of God's presence. Because how can we mourn or miss something that is not real? So if we feel an absence of God, we are actually agreeing to God's presence. So the final piece of this puzzle then is Christocentrically. How do we do all of this but keep Jesus as the object? Well, once we have aligned ourselves to the real truth of what he did for us, once we've actually taken on board his activity through his ministry to his death and his resurrection, that whether or not we ever turned back to God, he would have sacrificed everything for us, just in case. Once we grasp that, feel it in our being, we can't possibly walk away from Christ as the magnet center for that. Our gravity becomes Jesus himself. But the world will bend us away. So the reality of Jesus and his sacrifice, which binds the entire Bible together, makes sense of all of the literature on God. That love for us, life breathing. Paul prays desperately for us to fully experience it, so that all that we can offer, all that we can be, becomes the reality of who we are. His lovely passage that everything that God is, its breadth, its depth, its length, and its height. But we can never grab on to all of that. We can never grasp entirely what God is. It's too big, it's too long, it's too wide, it's too tall. But we must, Paul says, try. Amen.